Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman today.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Angela. We're going to have some fun here. We've been having fun. You know, there's a lot going on right now, especially with it being Black Friday and everything. People all willy-nilly running around outside like crazy people. So, you know what? To help us talk about all of these crazies, because, you know, there's a lot to talk about, we have Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs of Justice joining us. Welcome back, Deb.
Happy Black Friday, and I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving.
Me too. I'm sure everybody, you know, who could enjoy their Thanksgiving had a nice Thanksgiving. But, you know, some of us were not that fortunate because we work in retail, which is not cool.
That's exactly right.
Not cool.
You know, it's how greedy can people get to make their employees actually work? Some of them had to work from 6 o'clock yesterday morning on. I mean, it's like corporate greed at its finest.
Oh, I agree. It's just, it's crazy what they've done this year. I mean, I used to be all for, you know, the Black Friday shopping, stuff like that. But that was a thing. It was on Friday, the day that it was supposed to be on, because it was designated for a day, not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving already had a holiday. Thursday was already taken. It wasn't an option to be taken over.
Well, I mean, that's right. You know, many years ago, probably back before the two of you were even born, I actually worked retail. And I know what it's like to work the retail hours, but I remember back then how we were all enraged and angry because that was back when they first started making us all work on New Year's Day. So I can't even imagine how people felt or people are feeling when they have to go in and actually give up a family holiday like Thanksgiving. Because let's face it, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, that's just kind of like a party holiday. But Thanksgiving is truly a very traditional family holiday where families get together. And to make people have to work on a holiday that is so family-oriented, it's appalling, and it's all just because of the almighty dollar. Now, I know I've gotten into discussions with some of my friends. Well, if people want to go out and shop, why shouldn't they be allowed to go out and shop? Well, because they're doing it at the expense of other people who have to actually be in the stores to take care of those that want to go out and shop. And the other thing is that the people that are going out and shopping, they're going to go home to their families.
Mm-hmm.
They went home to their families, and they went home and had their nice family dinners because they went out and did their shopping around the schedules of their dinners. But unfortunately, the people that are there in the stores working, that were there working, that are there today putting up with the Black Fridays, they didn't have the luxury to be able to go home and have their dinners because they had to work.
That's exactly right.
You know, and if you think, and the other thing is if some of the moms that had to work, if you had to go put in an 8-hour day or a 10-hour day, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that had to end up working extended hours, who's going to feel like going home and cooking a Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, exactly.
So,
exactly.
The whole thing, and I really applaud those retailers, because there is a whole list of retailers that said, no way, we're not going to make our employees come in and work on Thanksgiving Day. So I hope that people, you know, there are a lot of sites out there, especially on Facebook, that posted the list of the retailers that said, no, we're not going to make our employees come in and work on Thanksgiving. So I hope people educate yourself and go to those stores, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We put up a list. Think Progress had this great article that Bryce Covert, one of the reporters, had been working on for a while leading up to Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And we actually took her article and we'd reposted it, and we interviewed her earlier this week just to talk about it. And we thought it was really great that she kind of took the time to kind of keep a tab on everybody and who's playing the game, who's not playing the game, and give us a list of, you know, shopper beware, which are the places that are open on Thanksgiving, and then shopper be fair, the places that we're going to wait today and open today on Black Friday, and just give Thanksgiving to their workers, which was great because a lot of them didn't do it just for the fact of it's Thanksgiving. They also did it with the fact of, you know, it's going to be a rough holiday season. It always is. It's always very taxing on their workers compared to just regular just shopping time. So they take that time to appreciate them and go, you know what, take the day off, spend it with your family, because you're going to have a rough road ahead of you here leading into Christmas, which was very nice and considerate. And, you know, more people should definitely do that. And maybe if some of these these bigger retailers would do that, then their workers would appreciate them a little bit more and feel more appreciated and want to be more cooperative during this holiday season instead of using force because of, as Walmart is seeing firsthand, force doesn't work because eventually people get mad and then they'll fight back.
And that's so true. You know, as I said, back in the days when I worked retail back in the late 80s, and actually when I started working retail, I did furniture sales, so I wasn't in the really crazy departments because, you know, people did buy, you know, recliners for dads and grandpas and some odds and ends, but we weren't as busy as the other departments. But still, it just took a couple of years because back when I started, I thought, oh, maybe this is, I actually thought about management, believe it or not, but that's back in my crazy days. I thought maybe, you know, this might be something that I want to do, but all it took was 2 years of being in retail during the holiday season is like, this isn't for me. This isn't something that I want to have to endure. And as I said, I was in kind of a calm department compared to the rest of the store. But I wouldn't want to have to work in any of the places where there were high volume because it was crazy. It's stressful. And in most cases, the people, they're paid horrible wages. You know, when you go into stores like Walmart, and let's kind of focus in on Walmart because that's where most of the Black Friday events that are going on today, they're focusing on Walmart, or all the Black Friday events. You know, right now there are stores where Walmart are putting out baskets asking their employees to give canned goods for the employees that can't afford food during the holiday season. I mean, how appalling is that? That Walmart is asking their own employees to give food for their other employees that can't afford food during the holidays.
Not only is that appalling, but this is not the first time they've done it. And I'm shocked that they're doing it again because it made news last year when they were putting up these little boxes, you know, food drives and help your fellow employees out. It's shocking to me that they're still doing it. And they're putting up the face of saying that it's for people who have come into an unexpected emergency. You know, it's for someone who had something unexpected happen. But, you know, those people don't have a savings to take care of themselves in the case of emergency because Walmart isn't paying them enough to have a savings.
Right, and you're talking about a store where the owners, their net worth, the Walton family's net worth is combined net worth is $145 billion. That's billion with a B. $145 billion is their net worth. So it seems to me that it's nothing but total greed where they won't even consider paying their employees a decent wage so that their employees can actually live without food stamps or live without the need for the store to go in and put food baskets so that other employees in the store can contribute food for their coworkers during the holiday seasons. The holiday season. I mean, it's crazy, but they still get away with it because we as consumers still walk through their doors and buy their junk. And because that's what it is. And most of the stuff that's made in Walmart, let's face it, is made in China.
Oh, completely. Just like their quote-unquote American-made televisions that were really made in China. But they unscrewed one piece of it in the U.S. and screwed it back together and placed a part in it. And so then they called it American-made. Because
right,
that's just a pathetic excuse.
And slap it in a box that looks like it's you know, all flags.
That patriotic,
the patriotic
American flag waving strong on the box. Yeah, okay. Okay, that's a little crock.
And say it's made in America. And, you know, again, all the studies that have been done is that the majority of the stuff that's made in America is their food products. So,
because there's only so much, like, stuff that you can stick in something and still make it fresh to get it back to the U.S. and sold in a store.
Right. And here is a company that has single-handedly put more U.S. companies out of business than any other company in the United States. You know, we live here in in Ohio. I live here in Ohio, and I think of right away Rubbermaid, which is a company. It still is in existence, barely, but it was a booming company here in Orville, Ohio, that Walmart, because they wanted Rubbermaid to start. They wanted the cost of the product. They wanted, you know, their cost of the product to be a lot lower than what Rubbermaid was selling to them. And Rubbermaid came back and said, "Look, we can't sell it to you for this low cost, because of course the bottom line, Walmart wanted to be able to offer it for a lower price on their shelves." And Walmart happened to be Rubbermaid's highest, their largest contract. And when Rubbermaid came back and said, "We can't sell it to you for that price," Walmart canceled their contract and basically put them out of business. They're still here. They're still around, but I think they've shipped most of their manufacturing over to China.
And we're going to have to talk about that when we come back from the break, because actually that was the example I was going to give too, because it's a perfect example of Walmart being a big bully. So we're going to talk about that right when we come back, guys. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
Sisters and brothers, are you buried in paperwork? UnionTrack is a software platform that streamlines your administrative work so you can spend less time chasing databases and more time taking care of your members. UnionTrack was created to streamline your day-to-day operations, allowing you to focus on organizing, training, and advocating for working families. More information is available at UnionTrack.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman today.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Angela. And joining us to talk about, you know, Walmart being a big bully is none other than Deb Klein of the Cleveland Jobs with Justice. Welcome back, Deb.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on this Black Friday.
Thanks for joining us. You know, there's no one better than to call everyone out on what they've been doing wrong than you, because we know you love it.
Love doing that.
So as we were talking about, Rubbermaid. That was a great example. That was actually the first one that came to my mind, that a brand so popular as Rubbermaid. You say Rubbermaid, everybody knows you're talking about Rubbermaid containers. They make all kinds of stuff for like home goods, household stuff, storage stuff. I mean, they're a pretty big recognized company in the U.S. And the fact that someone like Walmart could practically put them out of business because they wanted their product to be cheaper is just insane to think about. Just to think about Rubbermaid, all of those containers, all of those totes, all of those plasticware, everything just gone because Walmart was responsible for almost putting them out of business.
It's right. I mean, and the other thing, Rubbermaid is just one example. I mean, look at all of the mom and pop stores that they put out of business. I mean, I kind of call it the deforestation of Walmart, because what they do is they come in and they put in all of their little stores in an area. Once they kind of target an area where they're going to come in and eventually put a superstore, so they come in and they put all of the little regular Walmarts in an area. And they might come in and put three, like in a larger metropolitan area, but one little Walmart in any area in a small rural area is going to put a lot of mom and pop businesses out, because they cannot compete with the prices. So once they've done their dirty deed, and especially in an area where they may put three or four stores, once they've done their dirty deed and run all the mom and pop businesses out, then they come in and they put one of their super Walmarts in, and then they close the little ones. So then not only have they put all of the mom and pop businesses out, then you've got these ugly empty shelves sitting in areas, because then they don't do anything with those. And if you go out, and you'll see a lot of these empty Walmart stores sitting. So now you've got the mom and pop businesses out, and then you've got these empty shelves of these old Walmart stores sitting, and there's nothing ever done with them unless the community gets creative and tries to find some use for that store or that building. And then the other thing is the one thing that just boggles my mind, and I don't understand why they keep getting away with it, they do it with tax incentives and tax breaks. They don't pay taxes because the community is so interested or wants to get the store in their community that they oftentimes will offer them all kinds of tax incentives and tax abatements and tax breaks that they won't pay taxes for years, sometimes up to 15 years.
Deb, why do you think, first of all, why do they bring in smaller Walmarts first and then add the big Walmart? Why don't they just come right in with the Supercenter to start with?
I think it's because they strategically, like in a larger metro area, like, you know, let's say, for instance, here in Cleveland, they'll strategically place them in different areas so that it'll drive the smaller businesses out, and then they'll put the big one in like in a central area. It's kind of interesting to watch how they do that. I've kind of watched it here in the Cleveland area. So they'll go into different suburban areas in the Cleveland area, and then drive out those, as I said, the smaller businesses, and then plop one of those super Walmarts down in the center of where they've put all of those smaller ones, so that it's more centrally located, because they want to drive the smaller businesses out.
So is it a matter of people wouldn't go further to a big Walmart, so they get people conditioned to go to a smaller one and then they move? Yes. Is that the idea?
That's what I think. I mean, just by watching how they do it, because if they drive the smaller businesses out, the smaller grocery chains, the smaller hardwares, the smaller retail businesses, then you have no choice but to go to the bigger one, to go to the big super center, because all of the smaller ones have been put out of business. So you can't go to the business down the street. You have no choice but to go to the super Walmart.
All a conspiracy theory.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, if you just watch it, they'll come up with some excuse of why they have to close the store. But it's just watch when they go to a new area. Now, sometimes they'll leave the smaller Walmart in a rural area, but or they'll come in with the super Walmart and offer the groceries right out, you know, right from the get-go. But it's just kind of interesting to watch how they do that. And sometimes there have been communities that have been able to fight back and stop them from coming in, but they have a lot of money to fight.
Oh, yeah. Right here, actually, in northern Pittsburgh. I think it's like the North Hills area. So that's kind of a little bit more of an upscale area. They've got, I mean, a lot of different options for shopping and things like that. But they're really particular about what kind of stores go in their area. And, like, you go to their mall, and it is, like, the top of the top. The Neiman Marcus, the Coach stores, the, like, that's the kind of stuff carried in their mall.
There's a Tiffany's.
There's a Tiffany's, yeah. Well, Walmart wants to move into that area, and those people pitched a fit. And you know what? Even with all of their power and going, like, packing hundreds of people into their community meetings and fighting the boards and anything they could do, they still lost to Walmart. Walmart is coming to their area.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Yeah, the latest. I think they're trying to repeal it again for, like, the billionth time. But so far, in this has been quite a fight because it's a very strong movement that the community does not want any part of this store pretty much coming in and hurting the other businesses. They're just not having Walmart. They don't want Walmart. They don't want the traffic. They don't want the products. They just do not want Walmart. And it's amazing that that many people feel that strongly against a Walmart, and yet it is still being forced upon them.
Well, it's hard to fight $145 billion in net worth.
That is really, very true.
It's really difficult to fight that. You know, and then the other thing that really, every time I read this in an article, it drives me crazy, because then their PR, their public relations person will come back, and any time that you see an article talking about what the average Walmart worker makes, you know, it's like close to $8 an hour, under $8 an hour, they'll come back with, no, our average worker makes $11 an hour. Well, no. Or the average, well, not the worker. That's not what they say. They say our average, the average salary. Well, if you average out, I think the CEO makes $23 million an hour, and you average all of those salaries, it probably would average out to $11 an hour. But the average associate in Walmart makes around $8 an hour. They're part-time, they're not full-time, and they do not receive any benefits.
I would like to point out, salary implies they are constantly paid a like some amount from month to month, pretty much almost guaranteed, essentially. Hourly does not work that way. So if you're figuring out salary people, you know, there's a difference. They're probably calculating not the hourly people into that equation.
But even if they did, I mean, even if they took all of their employees and averaged in all of the executives, it probably would come out to about $11 an hour, because you've got $23 million at the high end. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, they might not even be counting the executives, but still, whenever you're talking about top management, you throw top management in there, you know, general store managers and stuff, it's going to throw off the equation quite a bit.
It is. It's going to skew it. It's so laughable. Every time I read that, it's like, okay, can we see your fuzzy math? How are you figuring that out? Because the average person in the aisle that waits on the customer, when you walk into the Walmart, from the greeter to the cashier to the person in the aisle, they're making around $8 an hour. So would really love to see their fuzzy math. Their fuzzy math would be, let's see your calculations, please. But they always come back and say that, no matter in any article that you see when they're talking about the wages of the Walmart worker, that's what they come back with. You know, if that were true, why would so many of your workers be coming out and saying, hey, you know, we qualify for food stamps, or we go hungry? I know there's been a lot of attention given to people who say, you know, there's not enough money to go around, or we don't have enough money to buy food. There was one young woman who said, you know, when we feed the family first, and then my mom, and then if there's enough left over, maybe I'll eat. One worker, I saw a story who said, I eat and then eat breakfast and then go home, and then I sleep all day because there's not enough food and I don't want to be hungry. I mean, this is appalling in this day and age for a company, again, where the owners of this company have so much net worth themselves. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. But, Deb, we have to run, unfortunately. We have two segments today, and we still run out of time to talk about all the things. Tell us how we can find out more about you and the Cleveland Jobs with Justice.
You can find us at clevelandjwj.org, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/clevelandjwj, or you can find us on Twitter at CLEJWJ.
Great. Thanks so much. Happy Black Friday.
If you head out there to shop today, be careful out there on Black Friday.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks a lot. That was Deb Klein with the Cleveland Jobs with Justice. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor news update recorded on Monday, November 24th, 2014. I'm Mark Belanger. In England and Northern Ireland today, hundreds of thousands of healthcare workers held a four-hour strike and are planning further actions throughout the week. They are protesting the refusal of the governments to pay a 1% wage increase that was recommended by a wage tribunal. 11 unions are involved in the dispute. Dave Prentice is the general secretary for one of the largest unions, Unison. He was asked why the unions are organizing the protests.
Well, really, it's to go over a message to the public about what's happening, to go over a message to the government about the importance of our members providing our health services. Very, very quickly, you know, a pay review body, an independent body that looks at public service workers, recommended a 1% increase in line with the government's own pay policy. The Secretary of State, Jeremy Hunt, reneged on it, wouldn't pay it. It's been paid in Scotland, it's been paid in Wales, but not paid to English health workers. Effects on morale has been absolutely dreadful. They're feeling not wanted. They've had no pay increase for 4 years, and now an independent body, which has recommended 1%, has been ignored. And you just have to look. The MPs, they have a pay review body which has recommended 10%. These have been offered a measly 1%, and it's been reneged on.
Yesterday, November 23rd, was International Day to End Impunity. The day was established to commemorate the massacre of 57 people, including 32 journalists and media workers, in the Philippines in 2009. The massacre was not only the single deadliest attack on journalists ever to take place, but also an example of impunity because the killers were allowed to get away with murder. Nobody was arrested, never mind charged and convicted. The International Federation of Journalists, the IFJ, has used the day to kickstart its global campaign to end impunity. Jim Bumela is the president of the IFJ.
With only a few months to the end of the year and the grim toll of killed journalists is already at over 90, 2014 will be sadly remembered not just as another tragic year where journalists are routinely killed, but for the barbaric clips of the beheading of James Foley and Bob Sutlop, which will stay with us forever. This is a new dimension that we have never seen before, and we are determined to bring to an end. We are, of course, grateful that the international institution have set November the 2nd as International Day to Stop Impunity, but they should be doing more in making governments abide by international instrument and take responsibility for the security and protection of journalists. We in the IFJ will rely on our unions worldwide and there are 600,000 members to get involved in this campaign, your campaign. This is why I appeal to all of you to do everything you can to help us roll back this dreadful scourge and save the lives of our colleagues. There are many things you can do to support the campaign to end impunity, from publicising what the IFJ is doing in our website and your publications, posting protests, slogans and demands in Twitter, holding a press conference, motivating your members to be involved in letter campaigns or visit embassies or have a workplace meeting dedicated to end impunity. There is much to do and there is much we can do. The only unacceptable option is to do nothing.
In other news, in South Africa, the largest labor federation, COSATU, has offered to talk to the leaders of the metal workers union it expelled. However, the Metalworkers Union, NUMSA, said it would not rescind its decision to withdraw support from the ruling African National Congress, the ANC. The Building and Woodworkers International Global Union Federation is trying to unionize migrant construction workers in Qatar. The workers, who are treated almost like slaves, are not allowed by law to join a union. The BWI is trying to work out an arrangement whereby the workers could join it instead of a Qatari union. BWI would then negotiate on behalf of the workers. And that's it. Now you're up to date with the latest international labor news you can use. Radio Labor's daily newscasts are available on its website, Facebook, iTunes, union websites, mobile phones, and community radio stations. Scripts of all the newscasts are available on our website for people who are studying English as an additional language. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.